Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Monday to you all as we are back post-WrestleMania. We did three shows in a row all live on YouTube, and of course, you got the feedback via the free feed on Fight Game Media Network. So I hope you enjoyed all of the WrestleMania content we provided your way as we bid adieu to WrestleMania season officially and begin the road to Backlash in France next month. I'm Keela Cash. And by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right-handy sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Von Wagner. I bring to you back on the wrap, as always. He's not WrestleMania Scott. He's gone until 2025. I bring to you back here on the free feed, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. The not only rapidly improving, but just appears and then disappears Von Wagner. Don't we can go ahead and throw that in there too. WrestleMania week took a lot out of me, so now I'm salty. So that's what happens when you got me four times a week, and the people are probably salty because they got to hear me again. So I'm sorry, but here we are. Peanuts for everybody.
Oh my gosh, you know what, the salty season is back. I'm here for it because, you know what, I need some salt in my life. I need some hydration from your tears sometimes. And I appreciate that, you know, we had a great run for WrestleMania season. But we do need you a bit mad. We need you a bit salty. It is your gimmick. It's what you do. And I'm here for all of the chaos as we dive into our second favorite discussion because
here we go.
It's crunch time, ladies and gentlemen. We are in the home stretch of the NBA regular season. So by the time the show drops on Monday morning, the season is effectively over. But the play-in starts Tuesday. And, you know, for months we thought things were going to go a certain way in the Western Conference. And it might not go that way because it will really depend on what happens on Sunday regarding how the top 10 is going to be, specifically 7, 8, 9, and 10. And I say that because right now, as of today, as we record this episode, the Suns are at number 7, 48-33. The Lakers have moved up to number 8. They're 46-35. The Kings are in ninth place. They're 45-36. The Warriors are in the 10th spot, 45-36. So they can try to move up to get a home game. They would still have to win twice to get in. And Scott really, really, really needs the Lakers to win to get the 8th spot or the 7th spot, preferably number 7, because if they lose and if the Warriors win, that would be the matchup if the seeding holds up.
Yeah, I think we'll take care of business with the Pelicans. Listen, I've been calling for the 7th seed all year. Looks like I was one seed off, wound up at the 8. I'll take that. You know, especially when we play the 7th seed and we end up beating them. So I guess that does make us a 7. So yeah, I'll take that. Hopefully that's not Denver, because I'd I'd rather not see them yet, but Minnesota, OKC in the playoffs against the Lakers. Yeah, I'll take those chances. So feeling real good right now. If we'd have won against the Warriors, we'd be sitting comfortably right now, probably going after that seventh spot. But, you know, it is what it is. The Kings, I'm looking forward to the 9-10 game when the Kings beat the Warriors, get their revenge from last year. And hopefully Sabonis steps on Draymond. And then you know, Lakers will take care of business, get to the Western Conference Finals, and we just need a different outcome against the Denver Nuggets, and LeBron's on to his fifth championship.
You said all of that rapid fire, and you know none of that is going to happen most likely. I do love how you like to think
I'm
all
very
of these
confident
lofty.
In the Pelicans win, though. I'm very confident okay. in the Pelicans win. I do think we'll end up in the eighth, and I think we can definitely beat the Suns.
I think that you can beat the Suns, too. It depends what the Pels and Suns do today in their games, if they fold up or win, because the sixth spot, that is still open. That could go to the Suns or the Pelicans. We'll find out Monday when the show airs how it goes. And then the Warriors, like I said, they can beat the Kings. This is not the Kings of last year, but they got to win again. And it depends who's in that spot, the loser of 7-8 on Tuesday or Wednesday, to see how it's going to go heading to the playoffs next weekend. So it is a very fluid situation. Still, the top seed is still undecided. We got the Thunder, Timberwolves, and Nuggets all tied in the top spot. I think that would be determined by tiebreakers by the end of Sunday. But yeah, this is crazy. The Eastern Conference, things are also not set in stone, because 5 through 8, that can change on a whim. The Magic, the Pacers, the 76ers are all 46 and 35. The Heat are 45 and 36 as well. So it's a matter of them moving up out of the play-in, depending how these games go today, as well as we record this episode. So this last day, seeding is definitely going to be a factor as to how these play-in games are going to go this week.
Yeah, nobody cares about the Eastern Conference. There's only two teams that are going to come out. It's either going to be Milwaukee or Boston. Maybe Philly can mess around and upset somebody. But when it gets playoff mode, we knows what happens with Philadelphia. So, yeah, nobody cares about the East. It's going to be Boston or Milwaukee, one of those two. New York's going to have a nice run, probably get to maybe a conference final. I could see them getting to a conference final against one of them too. But that's about it for them, especially without Randall. So I look forward to Damian Lillard versus LeBron James in the NBA Finals.
You're funny. I have no faith in the Bucks. They're not going to make it out of the second round, if not the first.
That's fine. Nobody had faith in the Bucks when they won their title either. So I believe in Giannis. I'm rocking with Giannis, especially with a killer like Dame on his side.
And his bad calf. Are you ready to ride with that too? If that thing pops like KD a few years ago.
So real talk, I would genuinely just let Damian Lillard run the first round. They can win the first round against whoever they play, long as it's not Philly. They can win the first round.
Or Miami.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play Miami either, but I think you can beat Miami. You can beat Miami. Damian brings that's a whole nother level that they done brought in, whole nother killer that they didn't have before. You can beat Miami now with Damian Lillard. You can't beat Philadelphia. You can't beat Philly.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. But my only concern with that is the coaching.
Coaching-wise, that's a wash. That's what I am saying.
Despite how great Damian Lillard is, the coaching is going to absolutely demolish the Bucks when it counts to most. No doubt. That's why I think upset alert.
In almost every round.
Yes, every round. He's going to get outclassed in the coaching department. Like Nick Nurse with the Phillies. Like, come on.
Shout out to Adrian Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, just
that bag,
Adrian
at home laughing at Doc.
Adrian Griffin, I have to shout out this man because he did absolutely nothing wrong, and then he gets fired for no reason, and then your team goes 500.
I don't feel bad for him at all. I don't feel bad for him. Why would I feel bad for him? That dude's getting paid millions of dollars to sit at home. I don't feel bad for him one bit. I am happy for that man.
Yeah, he's getting a bag for doing nothing.
I don't feel bad for him.
I celebrate him too, I'm not going to lie, but I think that he would be a little bit salty wondering, okay, I lost my job because of this and you guys are still Okay.
He don't care, man. He don't care. That, yeah, you're right. He like, man, you know, I could be coaching right now. Then he go cash that check. Yeah, I'm gonna go on vacation.
Okay. All right. So we have spent nearly 10 minutes way discussing the NBA. Way and by the time we come back next Monday, we'll have some answers. We will know if the Lakers are for sure in the playoffs. Did the Warriors win two games in a row to get in? Are they in the dance? We'll see. Scott shaking his head. I was right Tuesday when the Warriors stumped them Lakers. So I am confident that I think both teams will make it. Lord willing for Scott, they have to win. The Lakers have to win Tuesday or Wednesday to avoid a possible situation.
I'm gonna go ahead and tell you in a couple weeks from here, if the Lakers get kicked out in the first round of the play-in, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you I won't be on the show.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just telling you, go ahead and find an understudy ready. Because if they get kicked out in an elimination game in the play-in, I'm not coming on the show for a week.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, I can't do it.
April 15th, 2024, when this episode drops, you heard it here first. If Scott's not here next week or after the first round, you know why. Just hold that for prosperity purposes.
Just saying.
But enough NBA talk. We'll talk about it next Monday as we get into the heart of our discussion, which is of course, WWE. It is the after WrestleMania haze, you know, but it's not a malaise this year. They're hyper-focused on Backlash. You're getting ready for the WWE draft in a few weeks, which I'm looking forward to see how they're going to shake up that format for this year. But I do want to touch on the post Stand and Deliver edition of NXT airing live on USA Network. And it was an all right show. And we got some main roster mingling going on. We got Natalya going back up there once again to face Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship. Very good competitive match that ended with Lola Vice causing some interference, which allows Roxanne to retain the championship. But I do want to go back to the top of the episode when Roxanne was cutting a promo. The fans are basically telling her to shut the hell up, kind of getting that go away heat for whatever reason. And then Lyra comes out to confront her. But then we got the thing, Scott, that we should have gotten at, I don't know, Stand and Deliver when Wednesday Adams turned on Lyra. Like, why didn't this happen last Saturday when it made sense for it to happen, for the title change to kind of hit a bit more? But oh no, let's save this turn for the Tuesday show instead.
I will hold out just because there is the possibility that she wasn't in love with Lyra at all. She was in love with the title. So if that's the story they're telling, which I think could be an intriguing story and could, you know, you can continue to bring her along, continue to develop this character who's just obsessed with the title. All right. I'm intrigued by that because you can put her with a heel, with a baby face. It doesn't matter. That's me being optimistic. Let's keep it a buck. Okay. Walker HBK ain't doing that. All right, he pulling the old tricks from the 90s. All right, so he's not doing that. But if that was the story, I'd be all right with it. But I doubt that that's where they're going. So yeah, the turn didn't make sense. I don't know. Lyra's fine. I think Lyra is in need of a tag team partner, and I think she would be a fine addition to the tag team ranks. And that tag team partner could also bring that personality out of her. Who that is, I don't know. Maybe when, you know, maybe when Becky Lynch comes back, she could bring her up and they could do something with the tag title, since we know Bianca and Jade will be involved with tag team wrestling. So you could elevate that division. There's ways you could bring them up, especially with the bond that they have. But I think that's, she's missing somebody to play off of. And I think she really needs that. You know, we talk about Wednesday Adams. She was fine, but her, I don't know. Lyra's just not clicking for me, and it's not her as the wrestler. It's just, and I know we keep harping on this, and I know people are probably tired of hearing about it, but I just think you got to try something else because she is very talented, and I think you need somebody like that on the roster who can, when you get in between those lines, it's like, all right, let's get it. But I just think she needs somebody to play off of and to really bring that personality out of her.
That's the key thing. And I don't think we're being repetitive because I've been saying the same thing for a while. She's very talented and she's strikingly beautiful too, but there's something about the personality that is lacking. And I think it's going to take some time to figure it out. You never say never, because it does take time to figure out what is that extra ingredient that you're missing. And when you discover it, boom, you're off to the races. I think that she'll get there in time. Maybe she does need a tag team partner to bring that out in her, to really push forth whatever she's holding back, to unlock that hidden piece. And to go back to what you're doing at the PC, like in terms of promo classes, like character development is so important. She needs to sit down with somebody and say, what can I do to bring out this extra something that I don't have right now? Because there is a lack of connectivity with the crowd. And that really goes for a lot of the ladies with NXT, like the heels. Yeah, they're over to a point, but the baby faces, unless you're Thea Hale or maybe a Kalani Jordan, you're not getting those pops right now. Even Soruka, those pops are not there. They're not as pronounced as they were when she first was making her run before the injury. So I think wholesale, they need to really work on character development for the baby faces. They can't be white meat. They can't be smiling. They can't be perfect. They got to find something that makes them distinguishable for NXT, because now you not only have one singles title for the ladies, you got two, with the NXT Women's North America Championship being a focal point of this brand coming up. So you need standout wrestlers with personality that is going to get themselves and that championship over, as well as their future opponents at the same time.
I think Lyra has a kind of a path very similar to Becky Lynch's when she was in NXT. You know, if you remember, she was, you know, a good wrestler, and but she just didn't have a personality that clicked. She was out, you know, doing the Leprechaun 1-2. And now, you know, I remember she had that takeover, and I think it was the match against Sasha, maybe, for the title, where she came out with the goggles and she had the fog, and she, you know, she just had a whole different vibe to her. You know, her, like, everything about her was completely different. She had a different look. She went from, like, I'm pretty sure she went from the red hair to like the orange hair. She had like this rocker look to her. So something like that. It doesn't even have to be a complete character overhaul. Maybe it could just be something like a visual overhaul, maybe, you know, a gear upgrade, or just like Becky Lynch had. And then it just kind of builds on it. Then she kind of just built on that, and she was able to build on that, and it connected. So, you know, it is what it is. She's not the focal point anymore. You know, she'll have a nice little couple matches, but it's all about Roxanne now. And I'd honestly like for more main roster people to try to come down and take that title. Like, I'd like for her to show up on Raw, maybe be like, hey, I'm still the champ. You know, I'm the champ, walking around, chest poked out, and rub another maybe veteran babyface the wrong way, and then go down to NXT. I hope that's something that they continue to do with Roxanne.
Me too as well. And, you know, heel run so far, it's kind of there, you know, so not kind of getting that unanimous heel heat that you would expect, but got some figuring out to do, because I can tell you right now, mean mugging in front of the camera consistently is not going to give you heel. You got to really deliver on the mic, have the attitude and sauce, and most importantly, believe in what you're saying. And when that happens, it's going to totally click. So I think there's just some workshopping to be done there. But as you said, Scott, look at the evolution of Becky Lynch from being a skipping leprechaun to steampunk to eventually the man. That took 5 years to get to that point, to be a main eventer at WrestleMania and to be a game changer in this industry. So it can happen for anybody. You just got to go through the highs and lows of it all and figure out who you are, because the Becky of 11 years ago to the Becky we see today is night and day. So it is not impossible for you to figure it out and become a superstar like that. Mm-hmm. All right, so next up was a very exciting debut. I've been seeing footage of this guy on NXT Level Up for the last few weeks, and it was Javon Evans' debut against Scott's favorite wrestler representing the Crips, Scripps. And I really enjoyed this match. I think Javon Evans at 19 years old is going to be a superstar someday. He's got hops for days, charismatic, very talented, impressive debut. And I thought this is one of Scripps' better matches. You know, it's a rare case for him to be the seasoned guy out there trying to be the base, but he did a very good job. I was impressed by his performance. And Javon, you know, he stood out in a great way. He has a ways to go to be a more complete performer, but the pieces are there for him to be special. And what's scary is that he has not even reached the prime of his career. He's 19. He's only going to get better, which is scary in a good way.
Yeah, I'm not actually surprised Scripps was a good base for all this because he is an acrobat. You know, that's what he did. That's, you know, kind of what got him to the dance. So that makes sense as far as how the match was laid out. And yeah, that kid is impressive. That springboard, cross body, turn in midair, spin, that nasty. He's somebody that you should be highlighting. And when when he's going to be wrestling, you advertise it so people can show up and see this guy do something spectacular. And I would put him out there and have him do a different, something new, because I know he's got a bag. And NXT is the place where you get to show off a little bit of that bag. I would have him do something new every week. Every week. Something new. Like, don't have him do a lot every week. Just have him do something new. And then you just build that repertoire that way. Like, he's crazy athletic. Like, incredible. But on the topic of him, I do want to talk about a douchebag on online. I won't say his name. That's too much credit. Not credit, but that's too much attention. But you know, I do just want to bring light to the fact that 2024, we're still in a day and age where white men feel like it's okay to call a black dude a slave, like, and mean it in that type of way, and mean it in that way, and not just, you know, he said it and, you know, it came out wrong. No, he meant it in that way. You know, he said that's his slave name. And then to come out with a second video and act like, you know, a master talking about, I take your slave name, you know, I take it away, or like, what are we talking about and what are we doing? What is going on? And that's not a WWE fan. That's not an AEW fan. That's not an indie fan. That's a douchebag. Plain and simple. And, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I wanted to get that off my chest, because when I saw that, I was just kind of taken aback that this guy has a platform. And this guy has people who listen and like this stuff. And like the post had like 1,000 likes. And it's baffling to me that in this day and age, this 19-year-old kid, he's a teenager. He's an adult, but he's a teenager. He's got teen in his name. He's a kid. This 19-year-old kid who is genuinely living out his dream has to deal with people with a platform talking about him being a slave. Like, what are we doing, man? What are we doing as a wrestling community that we're giving this guy a platform? And I just find it baffling that this is what's going on today, and that this 19-year-old kid who's probably on cloud nine, had a great debut, crowd's going crazy for him. You know, and he's online. I'm sure he's online, and he has to see that. Come on, man. We're too old for that. We're too old for that in this day and age. I'm done. I'm off my soapbox. I'm stepping down.
No, stay on. I love it. I appreciate you, because I was thinking the same thing. I was on Twitter a couple of days ago and I saw the same thing. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I know the eclipse was a couple of days ago, but I have seen some outrageous stuff regarding that comment about Javon Evans being a slave, and then the double down, and then the likes of that video, which was insane to me. But the clapback from Javon's coworkers meant everything. And he said, you know what? We move. I got a show this weekend in Florida. I'm going to entertain you guys.
People outside of WWE too.
Yes. Inside WWE, outside WWE, showing love and support for this guy that got this attention from this douchebag that is using this guy's debut for clout and views, right, and trying to get notoriety off of his name.
Culture vulture.
A culture vulture. And, you know, I come from the wrestling world and soap world. And let me tell you something. Everybody that's a podcaster don't deserve a Yeti mic. OK, you don't deserve one. You don't deserve one. You don't deserve the platform to talk shit, because all you talk is just noise and it's nonsense to me. And there was another guy that was coming for Denise. Like, sweet Denise, who is a hustler.
Don't bother nobody.
Don't
built her empire from the ground up. And y'all, like, even if you don't agree with what she say, like, to knock her and her hustle is crazy. Like, she's one of the most, she's genuinely, from what I've seen, one of the most beloved people among the industry of people who actually matter.
Yes, a beloved content creator that hustles, wow, that gets the interviews. Like, if you so mad at her, why don't you up your hustle game? Why don't you get off your Yeti mic and do something with your time? Because apparently she's doing what she needs to do, and she's got the access that you are threatened by, apparently, that you can't get. So I don't know. Increase your hustle game. I don't know. But between that and the Denise slander, I'm like, what is going on this week with the Yeti mics? I don't understand it. I'm confused. But
yeah, I'm about to put my Yeti away and go get my snowball.
You're the exception amongst those who have fucking common sense, okay?
No doubt.
Those that use their platform for good, you can keep your Yeti mics. Anybody else that wants to be a culture vulture, that wants to be somebody that's going to be using somebody's name in order to increase your clout and status, I don't have time for you. I really don't. But we use our platform for good, and we call out stuff accordingly. I'm glad that Javon and Denise have got people behind them, supporting them. They don't need the lift, but it's nice to have it nonetheless from people that really stand and support them. And to those that continue to tear down those who are trying to succeed, F you respectfully, because, you know, all you do is basically try to get 5 minutes of airtime that you wouldn't have got otherwise. So let's drain out the oxygen. Let's kill the noise. We've talked enough about these fools, but love to Javon Evans. Great debut. Don't let the hater get you down, because you are going to be special someday. And to Denise, always respect you, girl. Keep hustling, keep grinding. And to anybody that says otherwise, up your game. That's all I got to say about that. But yeah, I think it was the eclipse causing some Mercury retrograde for sure this week, because I was wondering what the hell is going on in wrestling. For real, in terms of content creators and people who are simply trying to make a living. My God.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, that's enough about them, though. What else you got?
Yes. So let's move on to Obafemi, our reigning defending NXT North American champion. And he had a great title defense at Stand and Deliver against Josh Briggs and Dijak, who I think is going to be getting over as a babyface very, very soon. I love him. But we got a surprise from the one, the only Ivar. And what I was shocked at, Scott, was Ivar was wearing street clothes. A Viking had street clothes on, and he was talking in a normal voice. He says, I got next. I know that I can beat you. And I love this temporary call-up. Ivar is a great big guy, can go at a high level, and he and Obafemi can have a nice big hoss battle for the NXT North America Championship. I think they can pistol it in for a spring break-in in a couple of weeks. I think they'll have a fantastic big hoss battle match, and it'll be a way to get Obafemi some more reps, and Ivar is a great guy to do that. They'll do some crazy cool stuff, and then he can go back to the main roster. But I do love this surprise call-up for now to kind of add some spice to the NXT North America Championship scene.
Yeah, you know, Ivar went to a bar one day, got drunk. Next thing you know, he got initiated into a biker gang, ended up on Sons of Anarchy, Mayans edition, and changed his name to Ian. So that was Ian who showed up on NXT to challenge. Oh, yeah, that was Ian who showed up on NXT to challenge Oba. But in all seriousness, I think the Sons of Anarchy look is great for him because he genuinely, like, you know those scenes from like a bike, the bar fights where the big dude's standing there and there's a big fight going on and somebody hits him in the back with a pool stick and it just snaps in half on him and he just stands there and turns around. That's Ivar. I'm sorry, that's Ian. That's Ian right there. So I think the look's great and I hope he brings it up to the main roster. I don't know what you do with Sarah Logan. I don't know if she could pull off the biker look. Probably. She looked, because, you know, Michael Cole has a thing for the horns. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But this was really cool. I thought Ivar was great. Oba was great. This match is going to be fantastic. I love the fact that, and I think it's very telling, how high they are on him, and how, also not only how high they are, because you can be high on somebody, but how fast he's acclimating, that they're bringing all these different styles to him. Like, everybody he's wrestled so far has been a little bit different. Briggs got a different style. Dijak got a different style. Ivar about to hit completely different. So I like the fact that he's getting all these different styles of big men, and, you know, that he can work with and he can see how to work with. And now once he starts getting some of these little guys that can bounce around and he can toss around, that's just going to be fun now that he's used to tossing these big dudes around. So I like the way that they're bringing him along with the matchups that they're choosing for him.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm very happy about that. I love the diversity of opponents. They stand out in terms of styles, and Obafemi just adapts in any situation. For him to have like less than 20 matches under his belt on television, and for him to adapt so easily and not fill out a place is very good for him. And, you know, he's still learning, had that injury scare with Joe Gacy a couple of weeks ago, but he was able to kind of stay calm. He was a little, you know, jittery about what happened, but that just goes with experience. Be careful and, you know, take care of your opponents and, you know, learn from those lessons. And I think that he is doing that, and having experienced workers that can definitely help him along the way is going to be a help to him as he continues to develop on NXT. Now, I must address this briefly because, you know, we have the No Quarter Catch crew on NXT, and all of them are co-holder of the NXT Heritage Cup. And, you know, there was some controversy the last week or so regarding Ronda Rousey leveling a very heavy accusation against Drew Gulak about him pulling her drawstring of her pants during an interaction. And he made the mistake of going online to say, oh, my hand just accidentally wandered there. And, you know, I apologized immediately and it's all good. So when he explained himself that way, you know, you're guilty when you close off comments. So when you do that, you know that you're fucked. So when he did that, WWE said, you know what? No quarter catch crew is now a three-man unit. Names off the entrance. He was nowhere to be found on Tuesday. And I think that at one point he was removed from the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. So this is a very bad time for Drew Gulak. This was someone that I enjoyed as a performer. But if this is true, and based on WWE's reaction to it, if it is, then be gone. And the thing with NXT releases is you won't find that publicly unless somebody from Fightful finds out about it beforehand, and then they'll let everyone know.
So I will say this. Before he released the statement, I didn't think it was true because I didn't think somebody would have the balls to do that to Ronda Rousey. I mean, she's an armbar queen, and you want to put your arm there? That doesn't seem smart. But like you said, if it's true, you got to go. You know, it's a new time, new era, and the way that you keep the good faith that you have with the audience and with the fans and whatnot is stuff like this happens, they're gone. They're off TV. So I'm all for it. You know, if the court becomes now a try, they had the try court catch crew, the try catch crew, the TCC, the TCC. So I'm cool with it. You know, let's do that. He needs if that, you know, and I don't see Ronda Rousey saying that without it being some merit, even though I'm in the back of my mind, I'm like, yo, you stupid dude. She could have snapped your arm and nobody would have said a word about it. And there was nothing. I know you think you can wrestle. You not. If she gets your arm, you're done. Okay. She's clamping on and she's snapping. So good on WWE for taking action, moving swiftly and not even thinking twice about it.
Yes, very proud of them for that as well. But I will say that every time that Ronda Rousey speaks, there is one dude that is a common denominator that I keep saying needs to go. And that person, despite how much he got praised at WrestleMania during the closing main event angle, Bruce Pritchard got to go because he's a common denominator. He's a Vince acolyte through and through. Paul Levesque, I know this is your era, but let's remove every vestige of Vince McMahon that's there. And that guy has been there since the freaking 90s. Gotta go. He's gotta go because he is around a lot of controversial stuff. This stuff with Ronda Rousey, he's been a part of multiple incidences regarding the women's division with Aaliyah when Ronda shared that story in her autobiography as well. Like, this dude is around some grimy stuff. And if I really want to buy in this new era, he's got to go. Thank you for your service, but you got to go. I'm tired of hearing about you in a negative tense because apparently one day eventually the real tea is going to come out. And I don't want WWE with their pants caught hanging down on them saying, oh my God, I didn't know. You knew. Get rid of this person. I'm tired of this at this point.
Yeah, it's like we talked about. So just clean out whoever's got their hands dirty, you know, and has not been, you know, found, not, you know, and has been not been cleaned and cleansed. Then they got to, you know, clean house. You can find new, you know, new idea. You can find new minds and stuff like that. And you have the talent to do it. So, yeah, clean house, do what you need to do. But you keep good faith, you know, you're allowed a little bit more clearance. When you don't have good faith and, you know, you're not doing the right thing behind the scenes, you're not given that same little bit of clearance that you would normally have.
Absolutely. So hopefully that happens very, very soon as we get to our in-ring main event of the evening. It was a rematch for the NXT Tag Team Championships. It was the Wolf Dogs, Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin versus Nathan Frazer and Axiom. This was basically an ultimatum that Nathan put out there thanks to the anonymous NXT account on X saying that if we don't win this championship match at NXT, then we can never team together again. He put that onus on his team for stupid reasons. Ava did not approach you and say, oh yeah, if you lose, you can never team again. Like, you handsome idiot. I love Nathan, but you irrational, cute idiot, you. Like, why would you do that to yourself? But it was a hook for the main event angle. And I will say that this was a much better match than the one they had to stand and deliver because they were not going 1,000 miles an hour. I think they were kind of nervous out there with all those people. You know, Baron Corbin's used to it, but Breaker and Axiom and Nathan Fraser, like 13,000 people spooking you at noon. Yeah, it makes your adrenaline go kind of crazy, but they were much calmer in this match. Love the innovative offense from all four guys out there. Really great work. And then it came back, Bron Breakker trying not to spear Baron Corbin, trying to check to see if he's okay. And Nathan and Axiom took advantage and they beat Corbin to become the new NXT tag team champions. Happy for the team, happy for the victory. And then we get the return of AOP, Karrion Kross, Scarlett, and Paul Ellering to offer some doom and gloom to the new champs who could not celebrate for at least 5 good minutes. Great match. I question Nathan Fraser's sanity sometimes, but I still love him.
Yeah, I think that Keanu Reeves and the Blair Witch Project taking on the Goonies is going to be a real good matchup.
What? Excuse me. Excuse me. The Goonies? Really?
Yeah, those two remind me of the Goonies, man. What other group, you know, would be like, man, if we don't get this done this time, we're going to have to disband. who else would say that? I'm just saying, what? I'm actually really excited about Kross coming back to NXT. This is what I like to see. I think he could do a lot on NXT. I think him versus Ilya could be a lot of fun. I think their styles would work pretty well. I think Kross's hard-hitting style would work well back in NXT. You just got that presentation. This is where he was at his best. So I think this works. I'm excited. Everybody knows how I feel about Frazier and Axiom. I think they're a great, great tag team. Remind me a lot of London and Kendrick. Breakker and Corbin, we love them. But Breaker's going to be fine on the main roster. Corbin will be fine if he stays on NXT, whether he comes back, because I think if they just let him do what he's doing now, he'll be fine. But I'm really excited about Kross and that crew coming back down.
Yeah, this is needed for them. Triple H, I will say, he's trying so hard with Karrion Kross. He's like, I am defiant. I see something in this guy. I did too at one point. It's still missing for me. Something is a bit off still with the Karrion Kross presentation. I hope it's not too late. I think that going back to NXT is a good thing. The presentation was great there when he debuted during the pandemic, which was crazy 4 years ago. Time flies really fast. But I think that he needs this to figure out something. And I hope that it works for him like it worked for Baron Corbin, because it has worked wonders for this guy. And I got a question for you, Scott. Since Bron Breakker is now going to SmackDown officially, for some reason, the French delegation, they love Baron Corbin. They love him. This is before any of this happened in the last few months. They love this man. I look at the SmackDown tag team division, and I feel as if the Wolf Dogs have something to offer still together. Because if you're not going to push Braun out the gate, this tag team with Baron Corbin is exciting. It has legs to get over on the main roster. And you have the teams there that you can have some really exciting fucking matches. So do you go with the Wolf Dogs on the main roster, specifically if you have them in France, who love Baron Corbin for some reason? You have them together. You have them going on a tag team run. They run through the division. They're the champions for a while. And then you get the turn from somebody, and then you do it that way, and you still get as much juice out of the Wolf Dogs as you can. Do you do it?
No. Not a chance. And I think the way they're presenting Bron Breakker right now is exactly how you do it. This man is running through people. Literally running through people. I think you can always go back to that team, or, you know, that's always something that you can, you know, go to. But I think Braun's above that at this point. I think his squad, his matches that he's having on SmackDown are like he's getting over, like he's over with the crowd. I feel like that would be a step back for him when he is on a path right now. It seems like I think they have a plan for Braun Breaker. I think they want to get some of this dust settled, get through a couple pay-per-views, but I think they have a plan for him just by the way he's been on TV a couple weeks. He's running through people. So I would not do that simply because I think Braun is on a trajectory right now.
Yeah. I hate Baron Corbin because I like him now because I like the team so much.
And he can bring a lot to NXT, though, as a singles right now, especially the way he's positioned as a babyface. You know, you have Cross come in and probably take the title, Cross would be a great heel for Trick to chase as well. But I think Cross having the title and having people like Corbin, Trick, Tony D, people like that to go after, I think Corbin can bring something to NXT's main event scene as that veteran presence, especially with Ilya getting ready to get called up.
Yes, I agree with all of that. I'm still kind of torn both ways because I do love a singles run for Corbin as a babyface on NXT. But at the same time, I love the Wolfdogs. They were a great tag team. And I would like to see that revisited someday on the main roster, maybe someday soon. But I am for the Breaker push. I love Breaker. He needed this last run on NXT to kind of find that personality that was lacking a bit. And I think Corbin brought it out of him. And those fans learned to love him again. Because remember that time they were like, Breaker sucks. And like it was getting that go away heat to get out the PC. But they have learned to appreciate the gift that he was on the way out. But I must say, as we get to SmackDown in a moment, you know, we've been talking about WWE theme music for quite some time. So when Breaker came out on SmackDown on Friday night, why did they ruin his theme music? Why?
The same reason they ruined AJ Styles. What I'm thinking is Def Rebel has his contract has a certain amount of songs. So they're like, all right, go ahead, get these people that go ahead, do it. Go ahead and get your songs out the way. Cause I don't know. I thought Braun's song kind of hit. I thought it fit him. This one right here, it's just music.
But you're trying to reintroduce a guy who hasn't been on your show since before WrestleMania. You want it to feel familiar. Why would you ruin his music?
Even if you don't want it to feel familiar, why would you give him that?
Oh, God.
But it is what it is.
Oh, Death Rebel must be stopped. Must be stopped immediately. But now it's time for the actual main event angle. So Trick Williams comes out, huge ovation, celebrates his victory over Carmelo Hayes at Stand and Deliver. And he is ready to go back at it with Ilya Dragunov one more time for the NXT championship. And Dragunov is game. He's like, listen, dude, you've had multiple shots at my championship, but I will give you this. We will meet up at 2 weeks at Spring Breakin'. But if you lose this championship match against me again, you have to leave NXT for good. And Trick mulls over this possibility and he agrees. They shake hands and then out of nowhere, Carmelo Hayes comes out. He shoves Trick into Dragunov, goes after Trick Williams. And he says, oh, you think we were done? Oh, we're not done. So it's going to be you, me next week inside of a steel cage. So that is going down this Tuesday on NXT. I presume this will be Melo's official swan song from NXT, and it gives Trick Williams an opportunity to do something pretty cool. You go back to back in two crazy matches. You beat Melo, you beat Dragunov to become the NXT champion, and you will be the ace on that show for the next year or so, because I totally agree that he needs more time on NXT to develop as the guy on top of things, as the champion, to be the champion, to be the chaser or chasee whenever the occasion calls for it. Because I definitely view Dragunov and Melo WWE main roster draft bound in the next few weeks for sure.
Yeah, this is a good angle, good build. Trick's got an uphill battle, as he should, as the babyface. And Dragunov is the champion waiting on his throne for somebody to come and topple him. And Trick's going to crawl up that stairway It'll be like crawling up the Mortal Kombat stairway to get the Shang Tsung or something, or the end scene in the movie The One, where Jet Li's fighting everybody and he's on top and everybody's just crawling up to get to him and he's just knocking them off one by one. That's what Dragunov been doing. And Trick's going to just keep crawling up. He's been knocked down twice. He's crawling back up one more time. So good story being told right now for Trick Williams.
Absolutely. So I love this story for him. Going to get two back-to-back wins against Dragunov and Melo. Both guys go to the main roster and Trick will be the ace on NXT as the champion with a lot of opponents waiting in the wings for him when the occasion calls for it. Overall, a better than usual NXT. I hope they keep this momentum up, but under the new era, I expect Walker HBK to do some things interestingly heading into their next PLE Battleground in June. As we now get to Friday Night SmackDown from a sold out Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan, kicking things off with the brand new undisputed WWE champion Cody Rhodes. And he talks about his conversation with The Rock this past Monday on Raw, that very awkward exchange of words and title belt exchanges for a moment to see how it feels. You know, Scott, we're not going to get into the phrasing of that segment again. We talked about it on Monday night, but he alluded to what The Rock gave him. It's something that he knows about, that he gave The Rock heading into WrestleMania. We'll figure that out someday. But in the meantime, in between time, he'll be here waiting for The Rock as he goes off to film movies in Hollywood, as he's here in the here and now, ready to face all challengers for the championship. He now holds a great week-long celebration of his now run as the top guy in WWE. And how could I possibly forget that he lifted a famous line from his wife when he told The Rock, "Who in the hell told you it was open mic night, bitch?"
Well, he did, because he's in charge. So he did. I'm just saying, like, you asked a question. He did, Cody. What do you mean? Like, he made the rule. He was like, he saw the rundown and was like, "Yeah, let's scratch that. I need 30. I need 30 off top. Commercial free, I need 45. 10 for my entrance, 35 just in case I want to crack a joke." Yeah. Come on, man. Saw some people trying to cancel Cody Rhodes because of his line. It's a bit much. But Cody, let's not create the Cody-verse over here, dude. We don't need to do that. I'm still rocking with the Nightmare, though. I still think the promo was fine. I think his mission statement was fine. I think Cody Rhodes is going to be a great babyface. And whenever Gunther wins Money in the Bank and cashes in on him to be the new champion, it's going to be a huge moment.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be a great moment. It's going to be epic. It's going to be everything. So I'm here for it. And, you know, Cody has to be very careful. You know, the Codyverse cannot infiltrate WWE too much. So you have to rein in just enough. But I think he's going to be fine. He is beloved by the people. I do not sense a backlash anytime soon. Speaking of which, that backlash poster is cold. That is a great poster. Love the tagline, "Nightmares do come true." I love that. Love the pick of Cody rocking that championship. He looks good with it. It's meant to be. I know he wants a winged eagle. I like that championship on Cody. I mean, it fits him perfectly. He's meant to have that particular belt. If he wants to switch it up to have it customized for him, I get it. But that belt looks great on him, and I think he's going to have a great run as champion. He is now officially on SmackDown, depending on how the draft goes, but I think that he's going to be on here long-term, and he's awaiting his challenger for Backlash. We have two triple threat matches, and the winner of those matches will face next week on SmackDown, and the winner will face Cody for the championship at Backlash. So triple threat number one was Santos Escobar, LA Knight, and Bobby Lashley. Better than usual match, had interference galore, and the winner was LA Knight. Very good match from there. But then the best segment on the show, the Bloodline Saga. So when Paul Heyman, Jimmy Uso, and Solo Sikoa arrived to the arena, they noticed that they no longer have the best dressing room in the house. That honor now goes to Cody Rhodes for having the most luxurious locker room as champion. And Paul Heyman says wins and losses matter. These are the consequences. We are not living up high anymore. We got to scrap our way back up to the top to regain what was lost. And the tribal chief is on that. So let's go out there and try to make our stake known here. And so Paul Heyman says, you know what? What happened on Sunday. The tribal chief got a little bit too caught up in revenge from 10 years ago, going after Seth Rollins. Eye off the ball. It happened. Accountability must be taking place here. But we're going to inch our way back up to where we need to be so he will reassert himself at the head of the table. And we have Solo and Jimmy in the ring alongside Paul Heyman. And Solo is saying, wait. You're talking about accountability. You're talking about ownership of responsibility about what happened. Talk about wins and losses matter. And when we don't win at WrestleMania, then there must be consequences for said actions or inactions by someone in our family. And so he turns his attention to Jimmy Uso. And Jimmy's confused as to why you're looking at me this way. What did I do? And Solo says, I love you, Jimmy. I love you. And then we have someone attack Jimmy from behind, and it's cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's Tama. I'm brain freezing, Scott, because it's such a big moment.
Tama Tonga.
Yes, Tama Tonga. Yes, Tama Tonga. Cheddar biscuits, by the way. Cheddar biscuits. So he attacks Jimmy from behind, Tama Tonga, and Solo proceeds to Samoan Spike his brother 25 times. Am I being facetious? Maybe. Multiple Samoan Spikes to his brother, who he repeatedly says he loves. The MVP of this segment is Paul Heyman in the corner, horrified about what is going on, because this was not in the script. This was not in the plan of him going out there and trying to redeclare the bloodline's dominance in WWE. So Paul is trying to call Roman Reigns. Solo snatches the phone and stomps it, basically saying there's a new tribal chief here. So he grabs the chair, wraps it around Jimmy's neck, and he hip attacks him in the corner and tells his brother, I love you. Tama Tonga and Solo are standing tall, and Paul is horrified. So we go backstage later on in the episode, and the medical team is checking on Jimmy, and Paul says it ain't looking good. This is very dire. And then we have Tama Tonga and Solo roll up, and then Tama Tonga says this was on the orders of the tribal chief. Who is the tribal chief? Because let's not forget, Roman anointed tribal chief honors to Solo as the next guy up. And I think Solo has gone rogue and took that messaging to heart. So we got a bloodline civil war incoming. The next chapter of season 4 of the bloodline is unfolding as we speak. New set of innings have been unloaded. We have the top of the first here. And in the first inning, we're going to have a reunion of the Usos in the next few months, when Roman returns, massive baby face pop, period. And then we have our bloodline civil war going down once again. Better than the first time, because it's the OG bloodline versus the Wolfpack bloodline. But Scott, your thoughts on what everything that went down on SmackDown via this segment?
Yeah, it was a good segment. Heyman was good. Solo probably came off as well as he had beforehand. When he wasn't talking, it was just kind of menacing standing there. So this was a really good segment all around. Tama looks great. Looks like he belongs. I think the end game for this is, like you said, we'll get that six-man. I think we'll get essentially Fatu, who has been signed. I think he'll end up joining that new breed we got over there working. So we'd have them three, Roman and the Usos. They'll reunite. They'll beat those three. That's when The Rock comes back, makes it 4-on-3. Roman's going to need a fourth to team up to take out those four. And after they pummel each other a couple of times, what do brothers do after they fight? They make up, and he's going to go back to his first brother in WWE, and that's Seth Rollins. And it's going to be those four against that new bloodline. That's my prediction for the end game. That could be a whole year down the road. But I think after Roman and Seth, they get through their difference. Like, Roman got him back. Like, that's Roman's back. That's how I'm looking at it. Everything is about the redemption path. Seth Rollins had to do it. He did it with Dean Ambrose. He did it with Roman when he went bad for a while and went back good. Roman's going to do the same thing. That's my prediction for the end game. We get that big 4-on-4, which will end up leading to Roman versus The Rock.
Yes. There's two possibilities how this could go. It could be the Seth path, which I love because of the history, or it could be the Sammy Uso path too. Either pathway works.
Sammy's good. Sammy's really good too.
Yes. Either pathway is going to work because history's there. And, you know, Roman in the damn chair shot. Like, let's not forget the Shield reunited 7 years ago and Roman still held that in his chest for 10 years, that betrayal. So there's a lot of story to go there. Either direction is going to work for me. Jacob Fatu most likely will be joining WWE at some point to enhance the bloodline even more. So I am all for this. It's really great story. And, you know, Paul Levesque teased like the next chapter of Roman Reigns' story is going to be amazing. And it's already off to a great start. This guy is not going to be on television for a while, but when he returns, when he tries to check in and reassert his power, it is going to be some great television for sure.
Yeah, he I always thought it'd be CM Punk that turned a baby face, but who would have known it'd be The Rock that did it. So this is the anticipation for the Roman comeback. And I hope he takes about 4 or 5 months off. And whenever he does come back, it is going to be a big deal.
For sure. And to Solo Sikoa in particular, you talk about accountability. You talk about wins and losses. Dude, you ain't won shit since Crown Jewel. So why didn't you Samoa Spike yourself? I'm just saying.
You can Samoa Spike the punch, but I mean, you're right. He ain't really been winning nothing either. So let's see if this is a new streak. You know, Jamal had to break away from Rosie. And and Solo's breaking away from Jimmy. So let's see what happens next.
It's Cain and Abel nonsense has to stop, damn it, immediately. My God, these brothers are not getting along. My,
I'm just saying.
My goodness. All right, so let's get to our brand new dynamic tag team of Bianca Belair and Jay Cargill. They made quick work of Chelsea Green and a returning Piper Nevin this past Friday on SmackDown. Love the matching gear, love the energy, and love them hyping themselves up after matches. They look great together. And this is a dream team. I think it's a great idea right now to have them as a tag team to get Jade acclimated to the main roster. She is starting live events this weekend, which is really cool. So I think that I see a run for them as the new WWE Women's Champions. And I hope that with Triple H fully being in charge with complete autonomy, that he starts to actually book these championships and the champions with some respect. You build up viable challengers. You make these titles mean something. Because if you can't do that, I'm at the point where I retire these belts and introduce a secondary title for the women in the singles division. Because if you can't do tag team wrestling for the ladies, why do it at all? Why do it at all if you're not going to put your heart into it mostly?
Yeah, the two black queens together is going to be a wonderful thing to see. Tagging on a daily basis. I like the way Bianca can handle all the heavy lifting. Jay can come in, clean house. I look forward to their match against Casey and JoJo. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And even Shayna and Zoe Stark, like there are some good matchups to be had with them too in the division. And, you know, I think there are, you know, singles wrestlers that you can put together as well who aren't doing anything. So You can absolutely figure out something to do. Even them two just walking around with the titles, you know, as long as they're defending them regularly. You've got Kairi Sane and Asuka, like that's the matchup right there. That's going to be good anyway. So, and you'll be able to, you can run that three times. You know, you have the first match, you get the titles, a rematch. So, yeah, I think the division will be fine for a little bit. Well, as whatever Bianca's involved in, they're going to take care of that. So I think that they'll make sure that they have something to do of substance.
I think so too. Fingers crossed on that. I think they'll be great tag team champions, and then eventually somebody will turn, preferably Jade eventually, and that'll be a great feud heading into next year's WrestleMania. Potentially there's a bonus Discord question of the week topic we'll get to after the main event of SmackDown. Elsewhere in the women's division, Bayley was out there cutting a great babyface promo. Very happy for her, and her first opponent will be Naomi, who had her back during that stretch. Oh, hush it. It's a deserved title shot. She was there for her in her time of need, okay? She was there for her as a source of support. Stop it.
All right. I think it's a terrible first opponent. Why not let Tiffany have that spot? Like, why not? Why Naomi? Do we think the match is going to be better? Because I don't. And let me tell you, they started laying in some shots towards the end, but Naomi just, she's fine. She's somebody who I think does really well in the tag division. She's somebody I think would be a fine addition to the tag division, but I'm not trying to see her challenge for any titles. Tiffany, give me Tiffy time. Give me Tiffy time. I want that. I'm good on Naomi.
They might be saving Tiffy time for the PLE, Scott. It's very possible. Do you want it on a TV match on SmackDown, or do you want it in France? Do you want it in Toronto? Or do you want it on television?
I want it in front of 3 million people or 2.5 million people.
Well, okay. That is fair, too. But Peacock pulls those numbers sometimes.
Yeah, during WrestleMania.
Yeah, okay.
You bring up a good point. She'll have a great crowd if that's the match. But like, she's somebody you should be exposing. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's, I don't know. It is what it is. Naomi and Bayley will have a fine match. But I think that would have been a good spot to have Tiffany go out there, be competitive, look like the future. And you can have Bayley have a strong victory. And the loss, I mean, the loss not going to do anything to Naomi, but the loss wouldn't do anything to Tiffany Stratton either.
All right, so April 15th, 2024.
Here we go.
Scott thinks that Naomi and Bayley will have a subpar match on SmackDown. When they have a great match next week, I will redirect on the wrap, and he will not be here in the event the Lakers are not in the playoffs.
Yeah, got a lot of contingency
plans. Yes, I do. I'm taking notes of everything and timestamping everything you're saying on this show. All right. So our next segment is the main event of SmackDown. My favorite match of the night. Might be my favorite match of the week. Spoiler alert. It was Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles versus Rey Mysterio in a triple threat match. Winner faces LA Knight next Friday on SmackDown for the right to face Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Championship at Backlash. This match was, quote AJ Styles, phenomenal. This match was everything. The spots they did were seamless. The counters were everything. The work was flawless. Every guy was there for every spot. We got some creativity, things I haven't seen in quite some time. Ray was putting in that work. Kevin was great. AJ Styles, you know, I've heard the noise on social media, like, is he washed? Does he still have something in the tank? Answer is yes. This guy has admitted that he is hurting. The bumps are bumping on his body because he's been through it the last 20 plus years. But this guy put in that work on Friday night. All three guys did. And the finishing sequence of AJ Styles hitting a Styles Clash on Ray on top of Kevin to pin Ray was just everything. The triple German suplex spot, the rotating tornado DDTs by Ray to both guys at one point was great. The fisherman suplex off the top by Kevin Owens, a stunner to Ray off the apron, and the bump Ray took on the floor. Everything these guys did was just absolutely spectacular. Match of the night, and quite possibly my favorite match I've seen in WWE on television this week. But Scott, your thoughts on the main event, as it will be AJ Styles versus LA Knight next Friday. Winner faces Cody at Backlash for the WWE Undisputed Championship.
Yeah, it was a great match. A lot of fun. And, you know, this it shouldn't be surprising because AJ and Rey Mysterio also had a great triple threat match with Edge a few months ago. So I guess maybe about a year ago now. But this is a great match. Like you said, that finish was flawless, especially the way he just rolled Rey into the pin. AJ versus LA Knight wasn't what I was expecting. I definitely thought it was going to be Lashley versus AJ, but AJ versus LA would be that's a good TV main event. Crowd will be hyped for LA Knight. Either one of those guys, it'll be great for that France crowd. AJ versus Cody is, that's kind of a dream match right there. And LA Knight versus Cody, I can just imagine the promos that LA Knight will cut and the way he'll have that crowd with him and mess around and have LA Knight versus Cody. They might mess around and turn on Cody while you're playing. So that could be a lot of fun with that crowd too. But then again, I don't know if they want that. So they'll probably go with AJ, and then they'll be even and they can have a reason to have a rubber match. But yeah, this is a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. I think it'll be AJ Styles versus Cody at Backlash. They'll have a great match. I fully believe that it's going to be really good and competitive, and I'm game for that exceptional main event to a very good SmackDown post WrestleMania. I thought this was a bit better than Monday Night Raw. I'm not going to lie. I thought they made use of their time better, and most importantly, The Rock wasn't there to eat up the first 45 minutes of the show. By the grace of God, hey, we made it there. That's all that matters, right? So that is a wrap for SmackDown in Detroit, Michigan. But let's get to something that my co-captain addressed on our Discord a few days ago. Because you know what? WrestleMania is a year away, and we still don't know where the hell WrestleMania 41 is going to be. WWE is being very tight-lipped on the exact location. But let's get to a prediction that Scott is putting out there to the people in our Discord about what we think is going to be the top matches for next year's WrestleMania, wherever it may be. We got three of our guys responding to us. So GG, Gary Gonzalez, says he foresees Roman, Seth, Cody, Rock, Bianca, Rhea, Charlotte, Becky. Jeremy Finestone says Roman, Gunther, Cody, Rock, Bianca, Jade, Rhea, Io. And then Kevin Ely says Rock Roman, Cody Punk, Bianca Rhea, Jade Charlotte. So Scott, your thoughts on these match combinations for next year's WrestleMania potentially?
All of them work. Any of them will work. Any of them can main event any of those nights. I think it just goes to show some of the depth that they have. You can probably throw Gunther in there for a title match next year. There's just a lot that you can do. And the women's side, I think it's pretty fluid too. Don't be surprised if Becky Lynch is in a title match again. Don't be surprised if Charlotte Flair is back in a title match again. So I think it's all very fluid for me. The way it looks right now, I like Rock versus Cody as a WrestleMania main event for the title. And then if all things go according, I think CM Punk gets his main event. I think it's how do you go bigger than what you did this year? You go Rock, Cody, and CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. Does Roman go for a secondary title? Probably not. So we're more than likely looking at a CM Punk versus Rollins, but it's my fantasy booking. So I'm going to hope we get a CM Punk versus Roman Reigns, because that's a match that needs to happen. The tribal, the wise man needs to be in the middle of it all. I just think there's way too much for that not to happen. On the women's side, I think we finally get Bianca versus Charlotte Flair. I think that's a match that needs to happen. And the reason I bring up Becky Lynch is because I think she is somebody who could be in a title match. I was kind of leaning towards her versus Jade, but I think we get Jade versus Rhea next year.
Ooh. Jade, Rhea, Bianca, Jade, Charlotte, Bianca. Any of those combinations work for me? The combos would be sick. You can't go wrong with a great build. I'm here for it. For the men's side, Rock, Cody seems to be that direction for next year's WrestleMania. I'm not mad at it. Then you do Rock versus Roman for the following year, and then he retires. That's a nice way to end things on that note. Seth, I don't know. I could see Seth and Punk maybe for next year's WrestleMania to do what they were meant to do this year. But I like any of these combinations. For me, they are a winner in my book. I would love to see any of this happen at WrestleMania. I think the booking's there. The stories are there to really go there. So I'm all for those combinations. Nothing wrong with it here. So I definitely foresee any of these things happening for next year's WrestleMania for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, we didn't even talk about Gunther, and he could absolutely throw him in any of those main events and people would absolutely buy it, especially after a long reign. I'm going to tell you, the Watcher, Damian Priest, he won't be in a WrestleMania title match, but I'm excited for
the Watcher.
That's how I say it. The Watcher. It's always exciting, the fantasy book. The way too early predictions, but yeah, any of those combinations would be great.
Yeah, for sure. The Watcher. Okay, for a certain audience, we went too far.
That's
by whispering.
Dexter Lumis's new gimmick, The Watcher.
Wherever he is, by the way, that man's been missing for a very long time. I don't think he's injured. He's just gone.
I think. See, he might be one of the ones that we don't know about yet. They got some allegations.
Because
he's just gone. Like, gone. He ain't even getting squashed or nothing. Like, he's just gone. At least we saw Cameron Grimes, so we know he's gone. We know he ain't got no dirt on his hands. Dexter Lumis wear gloves. You know what I'm saying? So
you are sick. But I hope there's no allegations on this guy. But he is inexplicably absent. And we need to know why. Somebody put out an APB out on Dexter Lumis. Find out what's going on with him.
Where's Anonymous?
Where are you at with the tea, honey? Where are you to let us know exactly what is going on? As we now get to our favorite match of the week from WWE, the best thing we saw, not across WrestleMania, because that's highly unfair. We're going to stick to Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. Scott, your pick for the best match you saw from WWE this week?
The triple threat for me was probably the best match of the week, but I'm going to go with Javion, man. Is it Javion or Javon?
Javon.
I'm going to go with Javon. I thoroughly enjoyed the debut. It's not going to be the best technical match you'll see, but you will come away after watching that being like, all right, I want to see him do something else. So that's my match of the week.
Yes, I'm definitely going with the triple threat match as well between AJ, Kevin, and Ray. Just tremendous main event. The innovation, the high spots were just kicking ass, and I was here for it. So really great match. Also impressed by Javon Evans as well. Great debut for him on NXT. Future star in the making. Keep your head up, young fella. Fuck that guy that said that shit. Revoke his Yeti mic immediately. But with that being said, it's now time to put a bow on this week's wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. I want to thank my co-captain, as always, Softy Scott Young, for joining me as we recap the week that was in WWE post-WrestleMania 40.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Hopefully, we don't have any slave masters to talk about next week, and we can just enjoy a good week of wrestling. And, and let the culture just continue to expand and to excel.
Drama-free, Lord willing. We need the eclipse to just put an end to all of this outside bullshit we've been seeing. And let's have a better week ahead. Shout out to all the content creators that do good with their platform, us included, everybody with Fight Game Media, people that I know personally outside of this family. I appreciate the work you put in, and F you to any Yeti Mike person out there that uses their platform for pure evil, you clout chasing bitches. I said what I said on the show. I don't care. I said what I said and I stand by it. So, hey, that's a word on that. And with that is a wrap for the week that was in WWE. We'll be back next Monday, possibly with an extra special guest host, as we are getting into the grind for Backlash going down in France in a few weeks' time on Peacock. Early afternoon start time, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern, but we'll talk about it later that evening, not live, but live to tape for you guys on Sunday morning later on in May. But until then, for myself and for Softy Scott Young, enjoy the week ahead for WWE across Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Speed, if you're watching that on X, and of course, Main Event, Level Up, whatever you're watching. Enjoy it. So until then, for myself and for Softy Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Take care and bye-bye.
Speed.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.